Well, that's interesting on the live feed this morning. You see, it's really live, folks. This is the real gym. So a pastor, he was teaching an adult Sunday school class, and they were going over the many do's as far as commandments and the many don'ts as far as commandments. And it had, for him, it seemed like it was going well, that it was a pretty good study taking place. And then he added in that when you're obeying these commandments, God always speaks of pouring out blessings. So he asked the class, so what do we do with these commandments of God? What do we do with these do's, do this, or these don't do this? Well, a voice rang out from the back. It was a gentleman, and he said, I like to make sure I underline all of God's commandments in blue. Well, and many seem to be in agreement with that. Their heads are shaking. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's get those all underlined in blue. Then a second voice spoke up. No. I like to take it even further. I like to make sure I underline the do's in blue, but those don'ts, they need to be highlighted in pink. So, even more shook their heads in agreement with that, thinking, yeah, that's the way to go. That's a great idea. The pastor, being somewhat frustrated, because I don't believe that that's what he was looking for, being somewhat frustrated, he says, well, what about the blessings? What about those blessings that God is going to pour out upon us when we're obedient to his word? And yet another small voice sitting in the back corner yelled out, well, that's easy. Yellow. We underline those with yellow. This will come into play. Pastor shook his head and said, we need to go to prayer. So they did. As cute and as humorous as that story was, it is also a sad and very truthful commentary on today's Christian church. The Word of God is so easy to acquire. We have Bibles in our homes. Most Christian homes will have more than one Bible per person. I don't know what the capita is on that, but we've got a lot of them. So the Word can be easily gotten to, easily read. It's available. We have podcasts where the Bible is discussed. We have live stream. We have audio books where you can pick your favorite book of the Bible and listen to it. We have Bible teachings on the radio. You've got your favorite show or your favorite teacher you like to tune into. We have video instructions. We have Sunday school hours. And we have the preaching of God's Word. So many ways to listen, so many ways to hear, so many ways for us to take in God's Word. It is available to us, readily available to us, in multiple ways. So what are we to do? Well, James has been telling the believers that they are to listen, to hear, to receive into their lives the active, living Word of God. And then what? What was James asking? No, what was he commanding of the believers of the early church? If we would review verse 12, he said, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. To do this, you have to be obeying God's word, and you have to remain obeying his word. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Verse 18 says that he brought us forth by the word of truth. that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Biblical Christianity is not passive. It is active. It is a life to be lived. To be lived as one called by the Word of God, changed by the Word of God, and indwelt by the Word of God unto good works. And this only happens by and through our obedience to the Word, actively and continually obeying. Paul wrote Romans 2:13, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." So where does this bring us? It brings us to the same place that the early church was at as Jesus wrote to them. For us, it means our Bibles have to be more than coloring books. And that's not a commentary on the marking. I love it. We all do it. But it has to be more than that. I love highlighting and writing in my Bible. The highlights and the notes are great. I have little things in there that when I come back to it, they prompt me. And this day and age, I need a lot of prompting back to the why I remember what I wrote in there. So it brings us back. It gives us memory when we return to them. The question is, am I remembering to do all that I have heard, all that I am listening to? James 1:22, he says, "But be doers of the word." The word "but" there means to show or bring forth. Doer means an action, a deed, that of doing. James says, "Receive the implanted word with meekness, and now show yourself and prove yourself to be a doer of God's word." That implanted word of God that dwells inside of us does not mean for us to be passive. We have to be active. This is who you are, a Christian, a believer, a follower of Christ, a keeper, and yes, a doer of his word. Your actions, your deeds, your obedience, the whole of who you are, mind, body, spirit, and soul, must reflect Christ in all things. The scriptures we're going to look at this morning are 1 John 2:1 and 6, and then chapter 3, 4, and 10. We'll just look at those together here. First John 2, verses 1 through 6. "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him." And then chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God, who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. We remember earlier in James, he tells the brethren to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Paul also tells the believers to put off the old man, which is their walk in their sinful flesh, and to put on the new man, to be clothed in righteousness, that we should walk in the righteousness of Christ. So be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. The word deceive here means to delude, to misreckon, to mislead, to beguile. And it refers directly to being a hearer only. The hearing is important, but only half of the answer. The believers were strong in their hearing. The problem was they were not doing. When you look back through those first part of the letter that James was writing to them, they were hearing, but they were not heeding. They were perceiving, but not pursuing. They desired to be taught the word, but not follow it. They were willing to learn the word, but they struggled to live it. The deception is that hearing, the learning, the reading, the studying of God's word is sufficient. It's enough. If I could use a word that we've heard all too often lately, that being pandemic, I would be led to say that the hearing of the word only is a church-wide pandemic. Far, far, far too many make the hearing of a message on a Sunday morning their only link to Christianity. They say they practice, and everything they hear. To the Christian, they say they are. I judge not their heart. But if they are deceiving themselves, it'll be evident in their walk. And that can be judged. If they are hearers only, deceiving themselves, it may in fact look a little like what James describes to us in verses 23 and 24. In these two verses, three things happen or are happening, and they are all centered around a mirror. Also, this is an analogy centered around an action that we understand, that working with the mirror. Let's look at the action. First, a man looks intently, means to observe fully, more than a glance, to discover, to consider, or to perceive. He's looking at his natural face. It simply means his face from birth. So whatever his face looks like at this point, it's his face and his alone. He's looking at it. He's observing it. He's considering. He's perceiving his appearance. The mirror for them, in one form or another, was made of a piece of metal, bronze, copper. maybe even their fighting shields. It was highly polished to the point of giving a reflection. So they're using a mirror for what we use a mirror for. The use of the mirror has not changed in all of these years. As we look into the mirror and see our reflection, it will reveal our flaws. The areas that need to have work done, to improve, to fix up, to touch up. I suppose that one could look into a mirror and see perfection, absolute perfection. If that's you, then you'd be like the Fonz. You'd look into the mirror and you'd go, eh, and just move on. If you don't know who the Fonz is, that means nothing to you. If you do, you chuckled with me. Look into the mirror, and what do you see? The truth is that we're always going to see something. We're going to see some flaw. We're going to see something that needs to be addressed. I think of what he was looking into, that piece of metal, highly polished, but not anything like what we have today. The mirrors of the day, and I think in particular of the makeup mirrors, these things they're lighted. They got lights all around them. Some of these things are so highly lighted, it's like a semi-truck with his bright lights on. And you're looking into this. Not only that, but then you can flip the side of that mirror and it's magnified. So you got a mirror you're peering into, it's all magnified. You got these lights that are lighting everything up. For me, with this face, it's going to reveal a whole lot more than I want to see. But I understand. I understand the use of the mirror. For we want to know, we want to see. We want to see those flaws so that we can address those flaws. Second, though, after he had taken the time, prepared the mirror, made the effort to look at himself, to view his reflection, it says he walks away. Whatever is revealed, whatever was in need of correcting, fixing, or addressing, it is not dealt with. He walks away from the mirror. And then third, it says, he walks away and at once forgets what he was like. The at once means as soon as, forthwith, immediately. The KJV says straight away. The quick summation is this. A man looks into the mirror, sees his face, sees himself, walks away from the mirror, and immediately forgets what he just saw. So what's the application? If you are the hearer of the word only, one who is deceiving yourself, then you are this person. You are the one looking into God's word. You're observing it, studying it, considering it, checking it out. The mirror is an analogy for God's word. Second, God's word is like that semi with the bright lights on. That glass magnified, for it does reflect, it does reveal our every flaw. It shows us what needs to be addressed, where correction needs to be, what must be fixed, where change has to come. As we look into it, as we consider it, as we look at those notes we left in the pages, as we go to those scriptures that are highlighted with the vivid colors. It all seems familiar. And yet, if we take the analogy further to the man that walks away, we close the Bible and we put it away. And then third, straight away, immediately, without application, without action, immediately we have forgotten our face. We have forgotten what manner of man we are. We have forgotten what needs to be addressed as it is revealed. These are the hearers only. Verse 25, we know what James says to the hearers, what they look like. Well, if one is both the hearer and the doer, what does he look like? He looks into the perfect law, meaning the Word of God. It is the Word that they have been and are being taught. It is the Word of their saving faith, the gospel. It is their work of regeneration, being born again. And James adds, it is the law of liberty, the Word that took them from their bondage to sin to being a servant of Christ. Commentator Douglas Moo wrote this, as James calls it the law of liberty, he is referring to the new covenant promise of the law written on their heart, accompanied by a work of the Spirit enabling obedience to that law for the first time. I've got a lot going on with the voice this morning. James adds, he perseveres. He remains steadfast. Persevering was the center of the first 12 verses. He is one that is no hearer who forgets, but he is a doer who acts. And then in his action, he will be blessed in his doing. In hearing, we look into the mirror of God's Word. It reveals that which must be done. We are not forgetful, nor do we walk away from God's Word. We, in fact, become doers of His Word. We embrace His Word, and we are blessed. Verses 26 and 27, at first glance, seem to be a little out of place. But James is yet describing another way that the hearer only continues to deceive themselves, and that of the doer who genuinely serves the body sacrificially as part of his obedience to the Word. Let's read James 26 and 27 again real quick. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James is again speaking of those who are the hearers only here in verse 26, but takes it one step further. He says, with their tongue, left unchecked, unbridled, where it's not being controlled, with their tongue left unchecked, they will continue to deceive even their own heart. This is one who is talking the language of a Christian. They know what to say. They know when and how to say it. They church themselves on Sunday. They give. And they'll serve. They will use their speech to declare and inform all who will listen of the Christian that they are. James says this type of Christianity, this religion, he says it is in vain. In Matthew 12, The end of verse 34, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. As the heart is revealed of the hearers only, their uncontrolled tongue leads only to more deception. Verse 27 is, of course, a contrast against verse 26. As James describes to his readers what their religion is, what their obedience of his word will be, they are told that their religion must be pure and undefiled. Pure means clean, undefiled means unsoiled. As James describes this action that flows from the believer's heart, from the doers of God's word, it will be first to visit orphans and widows. This would have been an extremely big concern in James's day, for they were the defenseless. They were the uncared for. In James's day, the widows and the orphans were not made a priority. They were left vulnerable. They were left alone. And they were left to be preyed upon. We read in Psalm 68:5 that God is the father of the fatherless and protector of the widows. Exodus 22:22, and you shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. In serving God, they care for the orphans and widows. It had to be more than lip service. It is a work of sacrificial love. The defenseless, those of great need, they will always be among us. They must be looked out for, cared for, and be concerned about. To show concern, to show compassion, it has to be an action. An action of love, sacrificial love. An action of the giving of yourself to the care for the many when they are vulnerable. When they are the ones that you see uncared for in their time of affliction. They were going through a lot of affliction, the believers. And there was a lot of need for sacrificial love, one to another. James says to keep oneself unstained from the world and its ways, or what we have been called out from. The picture of putting off the old is exactly that, putting off the old ways of the world, that which defiles us. And we're to put on the new, the righteousness of Christ. In John 17:15-19, this is said, that we are to be in this world, but not of it. In 1 John 2:15-17, it is said, we are warned that if we love and do the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. The takeaway is simple. If we are hearers only, and not hearers who both hear and do, James was right to the point with the believers, with the brethren, with the body that he was writing to. And I believe that he was making that point extremely clear to them as well. If we are looking into the mirror of God's word and walking away unchanged, to only forget what manner of person we are, then we will be defiled by this world. Maybe, just maybe, as God calls us to His Word, we begin where it always begins. We begin with repentance. If we're looking into that mirror of His Word, and He's revealing those flaws, He's revealing what needs to be addressed, He's revealing where change needs to be made, we're looking at the sin in our lives. And that will always begin with repentance. And it will mark that we are being doers. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, what a bold message James had for the brethren, for the believers.